In the name of Jesus. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. In the three holy days preceding Easter, we have come to that Friday, which in the Christian tradition is called Good. Good Friday. A strange name, don't you think, for a day in which your religious leader is crucified? The day that Jesus was unjustly and cruelly nailed to a cross and suffered a horrible death. Good Friday. Some just skip right over it as though it were some unfortunate speed bump on the way to Easter Sunday and the joy of the resurrection. Many would rather avoid the bloody mess altogether, but you must not. You must not, because without a Good Friday, there is no Easter Sunday and there is no point. You must look on this one who bore your griefs and carried your sorrows, the one who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for you, the one whose wounds do justice to your sin, who was crushed by the law's condemnation that hung over your head, whose punishment brings peace with the Father, and in whose wounds you will find your healing. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Nowhere is this more true than with Jesus hanging dead on a cross. Here he is truly the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. In that one solitary act in the darkness between noon and three, the griefs and sorrows of our fallen humanity were borne by the Son of God. Our sin was answered for, the just demands of the law were paid, and we were reconciled to the Father. One time in human history, for all times. One man for all mankind. He has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Jesus was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with our suffering. You, my friend, are his burden. He carries you. He carries all of your griefs, your sorrows, all that death has done to you, all that death will do to you, all that others in their sin have done to you, all that you have done to yourself. Jesus bore it all in his own body on the cross. When we see disaster, tragedy, senseless suffering, large-scale loss of life, we are prone to ask with everybody else, where is God in all this? Why doesn't he do something? And the answer comes from the cross. There is God, right there, going to the heart of why there is suffering in this world. Where was God during 9/11 when buildings collapsed at the act of terrorists? Where was God in Hurricane Katrina, in the tsunami, in Haiti, and in Chile, and in all the places where there's suffering and death in the world? And why didn't he do something about it? It's tempting to desire an interventionist God, a God who will deflect bullets before they hit innocent bystanders, a God who will eliminate cancer cells before they become tumors, a God who will heal every sickness, cast out every demon, restore every blind eye and faulty limb. But in a world like that, where God micromanages and intervenes in every little thing, there would be no order, no laws of physics, no ordered universe. There would be nothing but seeming randomness as one act was interfered with after another. But God does something entirely different. Instead of micromanaging, he macro-manages our suffering. Instead of doing rehab on a terminally broken cosmos, he does death and resurrection on it. He embodies everything in the body of the Son of God, born of Mary. Together with all the brokenness, the tragedy, the disasters, great and small, and he reconciles everything in this world in that one perfect death of Jesus on the cross and that one word uttered in the darkness, tetelestai, it is finished. Truly, it is finished. He has borne our griefs, your griefs, my griefs, the collected griefs of all of mankind, every death and every loss. It is all accounted for in his death, and it's made good, knit together into a fabric of beauty as only God can knit. He has carried our sorrows, your sorrows, my sorrows. Every tear shed by humanity in its suffering and pain, Jesus has taken them to himself and bundled them into his death. Our griefs and our sorrows find their end, and they find their meaning in his grief and his sorrow. Behold the Lamb, God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. You wouldn't know it by looking at him. He looks like one despised by men and rejected by God. He looks like a loser, someone who has run afoul of religion and the state, and God didn't bother to intervene to rescue him. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Not us, him. There but by the grace of God goes he for us in our place. As Luther reminded us, when you look at the beatings and the suffering of Jesus on Good Friday, don't blame the Roman government. Don't blame Pontius Pilate. Don't blame the Jewish leaders or the Jewish people. These are but the instruments. The cause of Jesus' suffering is your sin, your thoughts, your words, your actions. Your sin is why Jesus had to suffer and endure all of this. Even if you were the only human being on this earth, Jesus would still have had to suffer and die to save you. That's what the law calls for. The wages of sin is death. Don't ever think of sin as simply a weakness, a moral failing, a mistake. As so many public confessions these days simply say, I made a mistake. Sin is much more than a mistake. It is an embrace of death instead of life. It is an embrace of self instead of God. It is the embrace of the devil's lie instead of God's word. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Those were your hands beating Jesus as they lash out against your fellow man. Those were your words uttered in derision and scorn. The lashes he endured were yours. The death he died was yours. And what's so amazingly graceful is that in this, God is reconciled to us, his enemies, while we were yet enemies. God had promised in the form of a threat to the devil that he would make enmity between the devil and the woman, between the devil's seed and the woman's seed, that through the heel-crushed seed of the woman, God would crush the head of the serpent. It's the foundational promise of the Bible. And it finds its goal and its fulfillment here with Jesus hanging on the cross. He who by a tree once overcame is now by a tree overcome. The violence of the cross means our peace. Again, every act of violence, of inhumanity, every genocide, every act of injustice is answered once and for all in this solitary death of Jesus. There is peace with God. Peace always comes with blood, and this peace comes with the blood of the Lamb shed on the wood of the cross and delivered to you in the chalice of his supper. Water and blood flowed from the wounded side of Jesus that day, John reports. And that's more than a piece of medical evidence concerning Jesus' death. It reminds us that the source of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are to be found in the wounded side of the dead Savior. By his wounds you are healed. His wounds are a medicine unlike any other, a medicine of immortality, a medicine of eternal life. Our medicine can only provide a stopgap. It can only put a bandage on death. It cannot cure. Only Jesus, the physician of our souls, can heal us eternally. In his earthly ministry, he healed people as a sign of the coming kingdom. But every healing has as its source his wounds here on the cross. Here the penitent thief finds pardon. Here the guilty one finds acquittal. Here the sick find health. Here the weak find strength. Here in the wounds of Jesus is the ultimate and final cure to what ails us, each of us. His wounded head is the healing of our minds. His wounded back, the healing of our strength and all the blows that we have endured at the hands of others and that we ourselves have administered to others. His wounded hands, the healing of our work. His wounded feet, the healing of our walk. His wounded side, the healing of our hearts that were turned away from God and turned against one another. In his wounds are our peace. Peace be with you, Jesus said on that Easter evening when he showed them his wounds, his hands, his feet, his side. Peace be with you, he says to you, with his body and his blood. So where then is God when bad things happen? He is there hanging on the cross, redeeming all things, reconciling all things, making all things new. Why doesn't he do something? He has. It is finished. A good Friday. Very good. In the name of Jesus. Amen.